You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
And let's talk some college football, though. And we're going to do it with Adam Rittenberg at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. He's a national college football writer for ESPN. Adam, thanks so much for the time today. And I want to start with you guys wrote a story just, about a week ago on Maryland and the culture that's been created inside the program. I'm curious to ask you about the response from Will Muschamp, who was denouncing sources and anonymous sources. Just kind of what your reaction was when you saw the head coach at South Carolina defending DJ Durkin.
Well, good to be with you guys. You know, I'm a lot of respect for Coach Muschamp and the job he's done, and I understand his desire to defend one of his former assistant coaches. You know, I think he's a little out of touch as far as how these stories are done. And I think because of coaches like him who are successful and intimidating at times, I think no one wants to put their name to something critical. It's very easy to be supportive, but it's much harder to be critical even when that is the truth. And I believe this is the truth. And I just would say that, you know, in my book, anyone who tells the truth, whether they attach their name to something or not, is never gutless. And you know, I think the situation is playing out the way that it needs to at Maryland because, you know, some mistakes were made at Maryland. So, but again, a lot of respect for Coach, and you know, but I also understand his desire to defend someone who he's close to in the profession.
Yeah, that's basically how it boiled down to me. I mean, some of the biggest stories in our country's history have been broken by anonymous sources, so I thought that was kind of ridiculous by him. But again, it's his buddy. You know, Adam, with the Maryland situation that's been going on, the parents spoke out, I believe it was yesterday, said, you know, you shouldn't trust your kids with DJ Durkin. What are we waiting for here in terms of whether he's going to get fired? Is it an investigation? Do you think they're trying to bide their time and maybe figure out a suspension? What do you think they're doing with DJ Durkin?
Well, they have launched an investigation into the allegations that we had in our story last week. The president said at a news conference this week that that investigation should be, quote, thorough but expedited. I mean, they know the season's coming up. Matt Canada is the interim head coach for Maryland right now, so you think there would be a resolution sooner than later. We're actually waiting on a statement from the Maryland Board of Regents, who had a special meeting today or conference call to discuss the investigations, both into what happened at the workout on May 29th and then also this new investigation. Wallace Lowe, the president of the College Park campus, obviously was on that call and confirmed, but we're just waiting to see what the board. The board cannot fire DJ Durkin. They have to, they could recommend or just express concern about the situation there. So we'll see what happens. I think it's always very hard to fire a coach for cause in a situation like this, but there's certainly a lot of pressure on Maryland, especially after the statements from Jordan McNair's parents yesterday.
Yeah, we're talking with Adam Rittenberg, national college football writer, excuse me, for ESPN, at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. You know, and that's not obviously the only big story in the Big Ten right now, coaching-wise. Urban Meyer is the one that a lot of people are still waiting on an answer for. And just kind of curious what you're hearing. Where's the update on the Urban Meyer situation, and what are your expectations of the outcome there?
Right. So in talking to a source who's close to Urban and close to the process here at Ohio State, you know, he told me, quote, this is going to go the distance. And that to me means we're not going to hear anything until early next week. They put a 14-day timeline that it technically expires on Sunday, but I think it's probably going to be Monday or Tuesday before, you know, we hear a decision. The investigative group has to speak to the Board of Trustees and the university president, and then they'll decide where to go from here. There's a feeling, you know, in the sport, in the industry, that Urban Meyer will be back at Ohio State at some point this season, perhaps after a suspension for a few games. You know, Gene Smith, the athletic director, he could be in bigger trouble, potentially, depending on what the investigative group found. But I'll say this, the investigation that they have carried out there at Ohio State has been incredibly tight. They have not allowed any real leaks, from what my sources have said, and anything that you guys see out there, it probably is not very strong information, because they've done a good job of keeping this very quiet, and no one really knows exactly how it's going to turn out. It could turn out with an Urban Meyer dismissal. It could turn out with an Urban Meyer suspension. I doubt it will turn out with, hey, Urban, go back and coach the team here right away. But yeah. You never know how these things are going to go. But it's a very seemingly a very thorough job by the investigative group. We'll just have to find out what their findings are, most likely Monday or Tuesday.
Well, I guess that's why I'm kind of confused about the Urban Meyer story, Adam, is because, you know, for us out here in Portland, you're trying to follow the national guys like yourself who are getting as much information as they possibly can. The feel felt like it was more Urban, how does he survive this? And I don't know what has changed, because, again, the investigative team has been so tight-lipped about it, but it feels like the last week or so, everybody's opinions, at least on a national scale, have seemed to change to, well, he'll probably get suspended and not fired. What is it that I'm missing that led from pretty sure it looks like he's getting fired to this is feeling more like a suspension?
Well, I think a big question people had was, what did he pass along information he knew? And you know, he says in his statement he did. Now, that has to be backed up in the investigative process. But It does seem like the question of, well, Urban's hiding information from his bosses or not passing along information to the Title IX coordinator or whoever it is, that seems to have gone away a little bit. Now, but the investigators may disagree and said, hey, you knew this, this, and this based on text messages sent to your wife and other people on the staff, and you didn't share them with your boss and the right people there, and for that reason, you're out of here. That could certainly be an outcome, but it does seem like the attention has shifted a bit to athletic director Gene Smith, especially regarding the incident back in 2015 when Zach Smith was investigated for domestic violence issues. That claim apparently came right to Ohio State from the police department, so it wasn't one that had to be necessarily passed along from Urban Meyer. But there are also other issues there. Clearly, this is a troubled marriage, to say the least, and possibly a very troubled individual. Why did you keep him on your staff for so long? Why did you have him on your staff in the first place? Those are some questions, I'm sure, that were asked of Urban Meyer during this process.
Yeah. We're talking with Adam Rittenberg, national college football writer for ESPN, at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. It's one coach in the Big Ten that's not under any surveillance or trouble. He just has a lot of expectations on his shoulders, and that's Scott Frost. Just curious your take on Scott Frost becoming the head coach at Nebraska, and what are kind of the realistic expectations that program should have? Now, they've been waiting for so long to get back to where they were in the 1990s. What's kind of the year one expectation and the expectation of where this thing should be in 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think Scott did a really good job at Big Ten Media Days of speaking to the base of Nebraskans and getting them fired up about bringing back what made the program great for so many years that he was a part of. But at the same time saying, you know, we're probably not going to win a national championship this year. And they're not. Their roster's not good enough and probably not good enough to really push Wisconsin in the Big Ten West Division. So, but I think, you know, he really thinks next year, 2019, is a year for a potential breakthrough. He'll have a young quarterback. The two of them are competing right now, but a young quarterback who is, talented, and a roster that should have some more speed and should be more accustomed to the way he likes to do things. And he's coming from a place that he, you know, got from zero wins to the only undefeated team last year in the FBS. So, he has a track record on his side. He has history on his side. He has tremendous momentum, you know, being the face of Nebraska football now. So, I think Nebraska is finally going to look like the Nebraska that the Big Ten thought it was getting when the Huskers entered the league, and it's not been that way. I mean, this is a team that's made the Big Ten championship game one time since joining the conference, despite being in the easier division. So it's certainly a program that needs to be upgraded, and I think Scott Frost thinks he can do that in the next couple of years.
What is your hottest college football take for this season?
Try not to have too many hot takes. I'm just very interested in a lot of the stories. I think, obviously there's been some really negative stories, but you have so many quarterback situations. You have so many new head coaches. I mean, and I do a lot on the coaching industries, guys. So yeah, I love to see how Jimbo Fisher is going to fare at A&M. You mentioned Scott Frost at Nebraska, all these new Pac-12 coaches, where you guys are, two new coaches for the two flagship schools of the state. How is Mario Cristobal going to fare with a quarterback in Justin and Justin Herbert, who I'm at a Pac-12 school right now. The coaches are raving about him. And then Jonathan Smith, you know, returning back to Corvallis. So those are the things that I'm really excited about. You know, certainly the quarterback competition at Alabama is unique and fascinating. And there's quite a few of those. Clemson has one. How is Michigan going to be? And is Shea Patterson going to get them over the hump? So there's no shortage of fun storylines to talk about. Unfortunately, that's not been the case the last few weeks.
Who would you lay money on could win a national championship first? Chip Kelly or Jimbo Fisher?
Ooh, that's a good one. Chip Kelly's track record in the Pac-12 is so impressive, and he's at a place where it shouldn't take long to build up the roster to where he needs it to win the Pac-12. So, you know, I even though Jimbo Fisher, that's clearly the expectation, think about what he has to go through. He has to go through Alabama, which is the dominant program in college football. He has to go through an Auburn team that's not going anywhere. And LSU is not going to be, you know, down or relatively down forever. I mean, they have some of the top talent in the country. So I think in terms of a path to a national title, it would be Chip Kelly, because he got there with Oregon. He got to the title stage at a program where you have to recruit in really creative ways because you don't have the talent base. Now he has the talent base. All you have to do is obviously beat USC, but you're not going through a program like Alabama right now in the Pac-12 to get there.
Yeah, great stuff. Adam Rittenberg, national college football writer for ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg. Adam, keep up the great work. We love reading your stuff, and thanks for taking a few minutes for us here in Portland.
You bet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.